Hello and welcome to FuzzDem. I'll be talking today about package URLs and version range specification. The version range specification, both are ways to normalize the way we discuss about package names and version ranges. And they may help build things which are mostly universal in terms of dependency resolution. So that's a very tiny topic. So a few things about me. I'm one of the discoverers of package URLs. And I guess one of my claim to fame is to have been part of one of the largest deletion of code in the Linux kernel. Actually, these were rather commands than code lines, but lots of it. When I say lots of it, we're talking about tens of thousands of commands. And trust me, this is a skill. We managed to crash the build of the Linux kernel in this process. So why are we here? Things are getting a bit hairy and complex. We reuse more and more packages, and that's great. In a way, the vision of our fathers to enable component-based development is really realized today with free and open source software. And what this means is that we can assemble complex apps and systems using bricks, which are the first packages that we love. But the thing is that we end up also with a lot of these packages very quickly, thousands or tens of thousands, when you consider both application and system packages. And we also have deep dependency trees with cross dependencies across system and application packages. You need a database, which may be MySQL or Postgres, that needs to be installed before your application can actually run. And of course, with all these packages, we inherit more bugs, more vulnerabilities, and that's really difficult to manage all that stuff, right? So how do we deal with this problem? As an open source project maintainer, the simple way to deal with all this quantity of dependencies is to put a good old README with installation instructions saying, hey, you know, if you're on Fedora, install these RPM packages. On Debian, use this set of packages instead. Sorry, we don't support Windows, but you could use Brew if you're running on Mac. And then after that, use this, and these packages. That's very quickly hairy and complex. It's a source of infinite head scratching for users. And so there's a few ways these have been dealt with. They all boil down to the same kind of approach, which is replace everything by something new to gain full control all the way down. Big tech companies like Facebook and Google use respectively Buck and Bazel with a large mono repo, a single repository where all the code lives, and what's so-called hermetic build system, which don't build anything that's fetched outside of the code tree. So you have a mono repo with everything on it, and you have a build that's the same for any code, and you manage dependencies within the confine of that mono repo. So that's one way. Or you have new emerging general purpose package manager that deal both with system and application packages. A good example would be SPAC and Conda, the latter being very popular in the data science world. The first one, SPAC, being a great tool for everyone that has a few hundred thousand computer at home or a supercomputer cluster. And last but not least, there are what I would call functional package managers like Nix and UX, which is based on Nix, which basically says we're going to manage in a different way the dependencies, such that you can have multiple dependencies and all the dependencies working together are guaranteed to be tested and have been the one that work together. So it's a different approach. In all the case, the point is, does any of these approach requires you to drop your current ways and replace these by new ways? So that's problematic. So dependency resolution, just to make sure everybody's clear on that, what I'm talking about here is I start with a package I directly depend on. It's a name or maybe a name and version or version range. So for instance, in Python, I could say, I'm supporting and I depend on Django version 3.2 and higher, but not 3.4. And it has to be under version 5. That's a complex dependency statement that's somewhat common. So that's my starting point. Second thing, I'm going to go in a package index to fetch the list of all the known versions of this package. And I'm going to select one of these versions that match the constraints of a version range I specified. And then I repeat. Basically, for this version of the package, I'm going to fetch all the versions it depends on, potentially each of them with version range constraints and version constraints. And I repeat recursively until I have a full dependency tree. And then I'm going to update the name and versions that are selected to ensure that the set of dependencies constraints are satisfied globally. So maybe there's another dependency in my tree which says I want Django 4. Therefore, I wouldn't be able to take Django 3.2 and Django 4.5. And in some case, maybe dependencies cannot be satisfied. That happens. But in any case, the code behind this dependency resolution is potentially fairly involved and could involve SAT solvers, so satisfying the Boolean proposition solvers. SAT solvers, sorry, and backtracking logic and all. And finally, you install this package. It's not in our scope. I'm really interested about how you can help some of this dependency process to simplify and get eventually towards a different approach than the approach we're discussing about, that is replacing everything. So it would be easy if everyone would use the same way to talk about versions and how you would compare to version. A good example would be, hey, let's use SemVer. If everybody were to use SemVer, there would be a fairly well-defined specification of how a version number is built, how you compare to versions, which is the essence of what you want to do. Say, is this version before or after this other version? Now, these version and version ranges are used to resolve package dependencies we just talked about. They're also used for vulnerable range. So saying, for instance, log4j 1.2.16 is vulnerable to CVE 2021, whatever it was in December. So it's an example. But there's a whole range of these versions that are subject to this vulnerability, and maybe there's different ones. We hope version numbers would be super boring, but there unfortunately, there's a lot of variation across the system, not only in the way a version number is structured, but also how you compare or express a range of version. So some use mathematical notations like Nugget, and another example would be Maven, but these are rarely used at the same times, or they use simple comparators like superior, inferior, equal, but also tilde, caret, stars, each of them having different semantics across the different package types. And furthermore, they would resolve a dependency version in a range in a different fashion. So what if we could express the dependencies and the version constraints in a mostly universal way? And rather than have a new package manager and replace them all, have a way to provide a bit more order without having to replace them. Yeah. So two things here. Package URLs, which is a way to name a package, which is consistent across the ecosystem and becoming fairly popular. It started with ScanCook Toolkit and is now part of many specifications like SPDX or CycloneDX. It's recommended by the NTIA as an identifier for package in software bill of materials and so on. So, and the second one is a new emerging thing called VERSE, or version range specifiers, or SPEC for short, which is a way to say, given a package ecosystem, let's find a syntax that's common and shared across all the ecosystems to talk about package version range. And that could be used both for dependencies and for vulnerabilities. There's slightly different semantics there. Very often, the focus of dependencies is to specify just one version. So give me one good version across all these ranges. Whereas the thing with vulnerabilities, you want to know, given this version, is this vulnerable? It's very similar, but the typical semantics are slightly different, or the way you come at it means that eventually several of the way these dependency ranges have been set are different. So we need new standards, of course, right? In this case, actually, this is a case where new standards have been proved to be actually effective and working somehow. Package URLs. So this is it. Very simple. This is small string. It starts with a PKG, which is on the way to be registered as an official URI scheme at YANA. Then a package type like NPM, PyPy, Gem, Golang, and so on. The namespace and the name at version. So it's very intuitive, no complex stuff there. And it's a way to have a simple string that can use, that can express very specific details in a compact and concise way about the package. And I just stumbled on a report the other day from the Linux Foundation on the software bill of materials made by the VP of research of the Linux Foundation. And there was this nice quote in the executive summary saying that package URLs are really a leading format or a leading approach to define globally unique identifiers. And I was psyched. I mean, that's awesome. That's it's really a small spec that can travel and get some mileage. So this new spec is called Verse, and it's very similar to package URL. The way it starts is with Verse, which in the intention is to register it also as a YANA URI scheme. Then a package type, by convention, the same as the one used in the Perl. And then you have a pipe separated list of version constraints, which is by in scanning call version, it has to be ordered from the oldest to the newest version. And basically this says it can be version 1.2.3 or anything that's superior to version 2 or version 5. And think of it as signpost on the timeline. It's already been adopted by Cyclone DX, and it's adopted also by another project I maintain called Vulnerable Code and library called Universe. That provides support for computing and resolving these ranges. So putting it all together, you have a mostly universal package name together with a mostly universal version range. And this means that we can eventually build and store a lot of interesting things. We can store version ranges and evaluate them at a later stage. That's what I'm doing in Vulnerable Code. We can eventually build multi-package installers, not discarding existing package installers, but instead wrapping them in something that is fed upfront with a front end with Perl and Verse. We can also write mostly universal dependency declarations, which don't use the specific extended syntax that may be available like stars and carrots, but use something which is simpler and can be used across the board without having to think about what is the syntax to be used for this package ecosystem. And eventually we can say goodbye to readme installation instructions. I think this is the kind of incremental approach that would work better than replacing everything like we've seen about. And that's pretty much it. So as a recap, if you think about software composition automation, it's something that's hard. When I say hard, it's really hard, but it's super harder if no one speaks the same language and doesn't use shared names and identifiers for things. And that means licenses, package versions, vulnerabilities, and version reference. So license names, this is being solved by SPDX license IDs. Package names, the ID and the intent is to solve this with package URLs. Version range, with this version range specification. Vulnerability identifier, it's mostly solved with CVEs and a menagerie of aliases for CVEs that every package database, a vulnerability database likes to stick on top of CVEs. And version control identifiers like to point to a specific commit of a Git repo, for instance, or subversion repo or any kind of version control repo. This is mostly solved with version VCS URLs, which has been adapted from pip in Python and it's also part of SPDX spec. With